Yesterday afternoon, I was driving south on Highway 63 and passed a bunch of soccer fields with kids and families and fans, and it looked like a lot of fun. But then I felt just a moment of internal conflict when I saw them. Part of me was jealous because I wanted to join them. But a big part of me, my conflict, was wondering where sports ranked in the priorities of their lives. Or for the families, how high they ranked the importance of their kids playing sports. Were not our hearts burning within us as he spoke to us on the way? I think it's one thing to be passionate about sports or your classes or job or a hobby or an interest, but to have your heart burning within you, it's not just to be passionate about something. It's to be alive with the purpose for which you were created. The two disciples in the gospel were going the wrong way when Jesus spoke to them. They were going away from Jerusalem. In the Gospel of Luke, everything is going towards Jerusalem. Jesus set his face to Jerusalem. No prophet can be martyred outside of Jerusalem. The suffering and death and resurrection happen in Jerusalem. And they're leaving Jerusalem, away from the tomb that they had just learned was empty. Away from the news that Jesus was raised from the dead. What? How could they be so nonchalant about that kind of news? Have you ever been nonchalant about that kind of news? How could they turn their back on that kind of news? You ever turned your back on that kind of news? The New Testament often uses that phrase, the way, to reference Christianity. Right? Jesus, of course, is the way, the truth, the life. And when we walk according to Christ, we walk the way. But notice, they were walking the way without their hearts burning within them, until Jesus showed up and walked it with them. Do you ever feel like you are similarly going through the motions? Walking the way. You're coming to Mass, going to confession, striving to make some time for prayer, but not really feeling like your heart's on fire. Do you ever wish that your heart would burn with a fire like they experienced? Now notice that on the way, Jesus doesn't scold them for going the wrong way. He scolds them for not believing on the way, being slow of heart on the way. The question isn't, is it okay for me to play sports? Can I see a movie? Listen to music, go to a concert, enjoy friends and good food on the way? Of course, you can do all of those things. The question is whether we're open to letting Jesus walk the way with us in everything we do. Not just, oh yeah, you can walk with me when I go to church, but stay away when I'm going to XYZ. Or just stay over there. I'll be fine, and I'll wave at you when I need you. The two were walking away from Jerusalem, which wasn't the best way, but they were still at least talking about Jesus, still open to learning about him. But they were also still on the fence about him. They believed he was real. No problem with that. We all believe he was real. Right? Is real. And when Jesus asks them what they're talking about, they give a wonderfully succinct summary of the life death, and resurrection of Jesus. They know all the facts about him. But do they really know him? Are they really committed to him? Do they know where he ranks in their lives? Do you know where Jesus ranks in your life? It was only when the two encountered him on the way and listened to him, it was only when they experienced the Word of God, not just as words on a page, but come alive as words of power and consolation and life, then their hearts came alive and start burning. Then their hearts begin to do what they were created to do. Our hearts were created to burn with a fire, with a passion that comes only from God. The church teaches that Scripture is the soul of prayer. If your prayer ever feels soulless, lifeless, is it missing Scripture? Is it missing its soul? In the gospel, the two disciples had the greatest Bible study ever, led by Jesus himself. The story of Emmaus shows us the importance of praying with Scripture so that it reveals to us who Jesus is. Jesus showed them how Scripture revealed the necessity of his suffering in order to enter into his glory. Now, that's not just stuff about someone. When we start talking about suffering, we're talking about life. When we read Scripture, are we strengthened to carry the cross with Jesus in order to enter into glory with him? The first part of the Emmaus story is the Liturgy of the Word. And the second part is the Liturgy of the Eucharist, where Jesus sits down at table with them, with us, takes bread, says the blessing, breaks it, and gives it to them, gives it to us. And then he disappears visibly, because now he's present sacramentally, hidden in the Eucharist. Beg the Lord to transform your hearts to be not slow to believe, but eager to believe, eager to understand, eager to embrace the necessity of the cross in order to come to glory. And part of the cross is the necessity for us to be like Peter and the 11 in the Acts of the Apostles. They stand up boldly in front of the Jews and the Gentiles all gathered in Jerusalem to give witness to their faith in the resurrection. When I was your age, I would have never, ever believed myself capable of standing up here and giving witness or anything like this in front of a crowd. Peter had been quite slow to believe, but now we see his own heart burning within him. And he sees at last the great purpose that God has created him for. Not to be a fisherman here on earth. There's nothing wrong with being a fisherman. But Peter realized he was created for glory with God in heaven, and he was no longer afraid of death. And he realized how that truth had to affect how he lived his life on earth. And so he became a fisher of men. When we become eager to believe the necessity of the cross so that we can enter into the glory of Christ and the absolute truth that death is a doorway, resurrection has revealed that to us. He's destroyed the veil that veiled what's beyond death. It's a doorway. Then that transforms how we play sports, how we do our jobs, how we take our classes, how we spend our time with friends, how we walk the way. Our hearts will begin to come alive, begin to burn within us, because we have found the purpose for which we were created. Don't just walk the way. Walk it with eager hearts, with a boldness that the sufferings of the present are as nothing compared with the glory to be revealed in us through Christ Jesus our Lord. So here's the homework for the week. Pray for zeal in your heart this week. It's a beautiful virtue, kind of a forgotten virtue. In some ways, it's a distorted virtue in the world, but it's an important virtue for the way.